Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Dancing queen, that is me. I was dancing on a bike earlier this morning, kicked off my birthday weekend at SoulCycle. Huge shout out to Janet. Great ride this morning. Now with you for an hour and a half, abbreviated show, because we are heading into your Islanders pregame and, of course, your Islanders game that you'll be able to listen to right here on 98.7 ESPN going up against the Hurricanes. So with you for the next 90 minutes, a lot to get to. Back in town, was away for a good week, was down in South Florida visiting mom. Health-wise, is continuing her road to recovery. So it was great to see Mama Mimi. I know that there's a number of people out there who've been listening to me for quite a while and knows that she's a frequent guest on the show. Hopefully we'll get her back again next football season. That would be tremendous. But Mama Mimi's doing great. Was down in South Florida visiting her, then made my way up to the Orlando, Jacksonville, St. Augustine area to visit my brother, my sister, my nephews. And it's always great. But by the way, as I'm sure you know, because you just got done listening to the Dan Graza show, Harvey and Joe are producing the show this afternoon. Gentlemen, hello, hello. How are you?
How's it going?
I know you didn't miss me last week, Harvey. I know. I'd ask you, like, Harvey, did you miss me? And I know the answer is going to be like, no. So.
You answered it, not me.
Yeah, yeah. Because I anticipated. I think Joe may have missed me a little bit. I know Harvey didn't.
It's been about a month since we've worked together. So, yeah. It feels like it.
Wow.
Just because of the way that, playoff games and vacation.
Right.
Staggers up, but yeah, right. It's been a while. I have missed the show.
It has been a minute, and of course, Tom's
been apart.
Tom now is producing on Sundays, so So you know, it's so great. So both my sister and my brother have little boys, ranging from 6 years old to a year and a half, and I'm the cool aunt. There's not like, and I'm not a big kids person. I've never really desired to have children. As I always say, I own dogs. I don't own children. It's what I've chosen in life. But it is so cool to be the cool aunt. You guys, either of you have a cool aunt, like a really cool aunt who you love so much that you can't even contain your happiness and your joy.
I do. She's probably listening right now.
Oh, that's nice. Harvey, any cool aunts in your life?
Yeah, I've had a cool aunt in my life. Absolutely, yeah. It's always been fun to like visit her, and she's always cooking, and so we just smile. So, yes, absolutely.
Well, I can't say that I've ever cooked for my nephews, but I'm that cool aunt who's like, go out in the backyard and like play pickleball and play soccer and throw the baseball around and kill the man with the ball. Like, I get that parenting feel, but then I get to come home. I get to come home. But it was an amazing few days down there hanging out with my nephews, and they're just so freaking cool. And now my 6-year-old nephew is addicted to pickleball. Which, by the way, you've been hearing the promos. We're really excited about it. We've got the Cinco de Mayo, it's called the Dinko de Mayo, right?
I think that's
what Pickleball America up there in Stamford, Connecticut is calling it. So we're really excited about it. Now, prior to coming on the show, Joe, you said that you're hearing through the grapevine that Dave is seriously training for this now. What, fill me in, because again, I've been gone for a week.
I don't know much. All I know is that Dave is ensconced in pickleball camp and training and getting
pickleball
his body
camp.
Ready.
What's pickleball camp? I've never heard of pickleball camp.
I always say camp like he's a like they're a boxer, like they're in camp, so they're getting ready for a big match or a big fight. So I think this is going to be a fight on the pickleball court. So I say that he's in camp. I know he's in serious training.
So Dave's in serious training. I know. Rick is so committed to his family and his kids and all the sports that they play, and he's coaching and he's driving around to hockey practice and all that. Have they been able to finally practice together?
No word on that, but we'll continue to keep my ear to the pavement.
Because that's really key. Amani Toomer will be my partner, obviously. Rick and Dave, they will be a team, and we're going to play. I want to say, last I checked, I think it's the best of five. I thought it was going to be the best of three. Apparently, it's going to be the best of five matches, which should be interesting. And this week, Amani was on vacation. So this week, Amani and I are going to get together, and hopefully we can practice at least two or three times this week, heading into our big Dinko de Mayo match up there in Stamford, Connecticut on Sunday. So I'll be broadcasting live from there from 8 until 12:30, which, by the way, guys, apparently we're going to be right by the pickleball courts. I'm just forewarning you. You're going to hear a lot of dinking and a lot of pickleball paddle play while we're on the show next Sunday. Just forewarning you. Got to be ready for it. But we'll be broadcasting up there from 8 until 12:30, and then leading into I want to believe, is it a Knicks game, a Rangers game? Or no, I'm on till noon. I think I'm on till noon then. I think tomorrow I'm on till 12:30. Anyway, and then the match begins at 2:00 in the afternoon. Hopefully folks can head up there to Stamford, Connecticut. I know it's somewhat of a drive, but I think it's going to be well worth it. And then I'm actually playing in the mixed doubles tournament that Pickleball America is hosting. So excited about that. And then since it's Cinco de Mayo, we'll all probably go somewhere and enjoy some Mexican and some margaritas. So hopefully, if folks out there, if you haven't made plans yet for your Cinco de Mayo, hopefully you can include us in those. A lot to get to and not a lot of time. Like I said, we're on with you until 1:30, heading into your Islanders pregame show. As they get ready to take on the Hurricanes, we'll have some picks and plays for you there. Joe Wiz is going to join us around 1:15. I told him specifically to have an Islanders play, so excited to get him on. But obviously, we are on the last day of the NFL draft. And you've got the Giants and the Jets still with a few picks to be had. But before we dive into the smaller picture in regards to what the Giants and the Jets did, and I'm going to open the phone lines, 800-919-3776. I want to look big picture here because so much talk, right? Well, first of all, let me rewind. Did you guys watch the draft on Thursday night?
Between the Knicks game, yes. The draft was on one of these TVs that Harvey and I had in the studio.
That was tough, right? Because, you know, you're following the Knicks, and of course, we're going to dive into some Knicks and 76ers talk. As we know, they'll be back in action tomorrow. It doesn't look like Mitch Robinson is going to be able to go. Thank you very much, Joel Embiid. And we're going to talk some Knicks as well. But, you know, I love the NFL draft, and I love the first round. It's one of my favorite nights of the year because there's so much talk, so much speculation, weeks and weeks of anticipation. What do you think a team's going to do? And I've been covering the draft now for many, many years. I've been covering the draft when the draft wasn't a thing. And I was called a nerd in regard to how much time I spent and how much preparation I did have in covering the draft. But what's really amazing to me is now that gambling is legal and legalized in so many states now, it's amazing to me how now there is so many smoke screens and general managers and teams keep so much close to the vest and don't want to reveal things. And so it's like, It's like, to me, the first round of the draft, because after the first round, even after like the first, I'd say 12 to 15 picks, anything goes, right? Like it's next to impossible. I think it would be harder to nail, meaning getting all 32 first round draft picks correct. I think it'd be harder to do that than to get a March Madness first round pool selection correct. Because now there's so many smoke screens. And now that you could wager and you could gamble and the draft has become such a thing. If you remember, the draft used to be just on Saturday and Sunday. And it's only been in the last few years that now it's become like must watch television. Prime time, Thursday night, Friday night. It's really unbelievable. So it's gotten more and more difficult to anticipate, speculate, and wager on what you think and how you think the draft is going to unfold. So let's just do a quick rewind here. Caleb Williams, everybody, including my grandmother, anticipated Caleb Williams to go to the Bears, and sure enough, he did, right? Interesting to see you know, how his game is going to translate into the NFL. Of course, if you listen to me on a week-to-week basis, you know that I'm not a huge Caleb Williams fan. I think his game is not going to translate well into the NFL. Again, this is my two cents, my opinion. I've spoken to a number of scouts, and they're on either side. There are scouts out there who feel that he's the next coming of Patrick Mahomes, and there are other scouts out there that do not believe that he was worthy of the number one overall pick. Now, at the end of the day, let's be honest. Was Caleb Williams the best player in this draft? Absolutely not. At the end of the day, Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver who went to the Arizona Cardinals at 4, hands down, is the best player in this draft. But because the quarterback position, and I've said this time and time again, to me is the most important position in all of professional sport, you now, and we have seen this in the last several years, the last decade, more weight is given to the quarterback position, where quarterbacks that might not be the best player on the board are selected before the best player on the board because the position is so important. So Caleb Williams, as we know, goes 1 to the Bears. Jaden Daniels goes 2 to the Washington Commanders. No surprise here. Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator. And by the way, Washington, if you haven't looked, Washington is crushing this draft. Washington is absolutely crushing, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm really intrigued and I'm really excited to see what offense Kingsbury is going to implement with Jaden Daniels. Talking to a number of scouts, and we've had, of course, Steve Verderosa on this show several times. Jaden Daniels, and I like giving the comparisons because I think that's an easier way for folks to kind of like understand what the ceiling is, right? So a number of scouts feel that Jaden Daniels' ceiling is Lamar Jackson, okay? So think Lamar Jackson, and now you bring in Kingsbury, who will be able to design and create a specific offense that is going to accentuate what Daniels brings with his skill set. It will be interesting. I think the biggest concern for Daniels is he needs to put on some weight. If he's going to play the style of football that we've seen Lamar Jackson play, he's going to need to buff up a little bit to make sure that he can avoid injury. To me, that's the biggest concern with Jaden Daniels is can he play the style of football that he played at LSU, which makes him so great, and avoid injury in the NFL? To me, that's the biggest question. Again, if you listen to me time and time again, you know that Drake May was my favorite quarterback in this draft. And sure enough, the Patriots got him at 3. Was it a smokescreen that allegedly the Giants were in the market for Drake May? Ian Rappaport did report that the Giants did make a call to the Patriots to see what would it have taken to move up to 3 to get Drake May. But also we were hearing the Patriots were madly in love with Drake May, and that a team would have to offer them the world in order for them to trade out of 3 and not take Drake May. Sure enough, of course, they did. So now it'll be interesting to see out of these three quarterbacks, who has the most success in the NFL in the next 3 to 5 years? I don't know a lot about the coaching staff, the new regime and the new coaching staff of the Patriots. So, we do know that the last 2 years, they really screwed Mac Jones up. So hopefully this is a better offensive coordinator. This is a better quarterback coach, and they're going to build around Drake May and give him an opportunity to really develop and shine. Not sure if Drake May is going to start. Jacoby Brissett is there, by the way. Wouldn't be surprised if Jacoby Brissett does start the season as a starting quarterback for the Patriots, and maybe as the season progresses, Drake May then takes over a little later on. But I do expect Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels to both start for the Bears and the Washington Commanders. And then, of course, the best player in the draft falls to the Cardinals at 4. That's a no-brainer. Chargers sitting there and could have accepted a trade. There was some talk and report that the Vikings, that would have been a spot for the Vikings to move up and trade. But I was being told that the number one player that they wanted, the number one player that the coach wanted was Drake May. The number one player that the front office wanted was Penix Jr. So, of course, there was a lot of talk and speculation that J.J. McCarthy would have gone at 5. That's not what happened. The Chargers sat there. It is Harbaugh. He loves to run the football. How do you run the football? You need a great offensive line. So he went with Joe Alt, offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. Then the Giants are sitting there at 6. I won't say shocked, but I'll say I am surprised by the neighbor's pick. Why? Not on the field. On the field, it makes perfect sense, right? Neighbors, out of all the wide receivers, fits Brian Daboll's system and the way that Brian Daboll likes to use wide receivers. The great asset with Neighbors is that you can plug him in, the X, the Y, the Z. He can play everywhere. He's not just a slot wide receiver. He's not just a wideout. He's a guy that can be utilized in a lot of different ways. And Brian Daboll, I'm sure, is going to get uber creative with him. And by the way, the over-under for Neighbors receiving yards is around 8. I want to say it's 859.5 or 869.5. Way over. I've already gone to the window with that, guys. I think Neighbors has an opportunity to put up at least 1,000 receiving yards this season. Okay? So, like the pick, just surprised because A, Neighbors is dealing with a shoulder issue. Albert Breer is reporting that and potentially might need surgery at some point in time in his career on that shoulder. And number two, the gun possession charge, misdemeanor charge in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. I thought John Mara would, especially after everything that we saw the organization go through, with Plaxico Burress, I thought for sure that they would steer away from that and that they would go Odunze, but they did not. So the Giants get Neighbors. Again, phenomenal wide receiver. I think he'll be great. Let's hope that Daniel Jones didn't hear him say that Daniel Jones sucks, because that can be difficult in that locker room. Interesting how Neighbors is going to reel that back in. We'll see. The Tennessee Titans really wanted Joe Alt. I think they felt that he would fall to them at 7 because everybody was anticipating the Chargers to trade. It's not what happened. So they took Latham, who a lot of people feel is the second best offensive lineman in this draft. And then the draft got really bananas, right? When the Atlanta Falcons came in and surprised everybody and took Penix Jr. at 8. Nobody was even the owner of the Atlanta Falcons wasn't anticipating that, which really threw the Minnesota Vikings off, because the Minnesota Vikings really wanted Penix. They were sitting there at 11 thinking, oh man, we got him. He's going to fall to us. Atlanta's going to go after maybe, a wide receiver, a corner, maybe another offensive lineman. And sure enough, that's not what happened. They took Penix Jr. and threw everything off. The Minnesota Vikings, then they were reeling. They were nervous. They traded up with the Jets, as we know, to 10. The Jets got down to 11, still got their guy. Fashanu, offensive lineman from Penn State. And of course, I passed by at 9. The Bears took Odunze. So Odunze now aligned with Caleb Williams. The Bears have to be happy about that. And then, of course, the Minnesota Vikings sitting there going, oh, snap, we need a quarterback. So, of course, they get J.J. McCarthy, and the Giants, the Jets trade out with the Minnesota Vikings, get some extra picks, and still get their offensive linemen. Anita Marks back with you live. Listen, where can you walk magnificent greens with the Manhattan skyline as the backdrop while you're lining up your next shot or your putt? Only at Skyway Golf Course, Lincoln Park West, in nearby Jersey City. It's the finest public golf experience in Hudson County. An amazing nine-hole layout, flowering grasses, magnificent dunes, rolling fairways, great greens, offering fun and challenge at every hole. Visit their website, skywaygolfcourse.com. See all that this wonderful course has to offer: instruction, events, tournaments, outings, juniors welcome, senior discounts. Skyway Golf Course is sure to make your must playlist of the Metro New York golf courses. I always say this, you live in Manhattan, you're here really quick. Just go through the Hudson Tunnel. Boy, you're there in like 20, 25 minutes. How great is that? Again, check out their website, skywaygolfcourse.com. Reserve a tee time. Variety of equal mix of par 3, par 4, par 5 holes. Landing areas are generous. Like I said, their greens are just really, really beautiful. It's awesome. Just don't take my word for it. Urban golf at its finest. Check them out online. SkywayGolfCourse.com. Again, that's SkywayGolfCourse.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Well, Leek Neighbors, I compare him to Tyreek Hill. He is explosive, but this is, to me, a terrible decision, and here's why. Since 2019, Daniel Jones, he's been sacked 179 times. That's the third most. He's had 24 fumbles lost. That is the most. He's missed 23 games since 2019. So if you're trying to build a winning program around a quarterback that fumbles, has durability issues, and gets sacked a lot, and you're competing against the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers, and the 49ers, and he only has 1 year left of guaranteed money, and you could get a young, smart, durable, productive player in J.J. McCarthy who's selfless and productive, I am hard-pressed to understand how this is the best decision for the New York Giants.
Oh, Mike. Mike Tannenbaum not happy with the pick. I thought he was going to go offensive line there. No, thank you. Again, J.J. McCarthy, many scouts that I spoke to compare him to Alex Smith. I'm not drafting. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not drafting Alex Smith in the top 10. I'm not. I think the Minnesota Vikings were uber desperate. The Giants are desperate. You know, they do have Daniel Jones on the books for this season. So live for another day. Now, you want to argue that the Giants should have gone offensive lineman? Okay. But yet at the same time, what's Daniel been working with, right? Wide receiver-wise. So, you know, I think you can make an argument both ways. By the way, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from the Manhasset station on the LIRR. After the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee against the Cubs. If you're headed to the game, look for the pregame party at Lot E along Roosevelt Avenue near the 7 line. Brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life of Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA. highly approachable brew that's packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave and buy a Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. 800-919-3776. Go to Dave. He's in the car. He's been holding on for a hot second. Dave, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I just want to bounce this off you and get your opinion. I think the NFL is in a big transition spot now where the old guard's going away and there's a new guard. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I watched how a lot of the older coaches, Belichick namely, shot down the Atlanta pick. I just want to throw this out there so you can get an idea of, I think there's a lot of progressive activity that can happen in the NFL, but you got to give it a chance to age. If I told you 10 years ago the Packers would be shy of a game going to the Super Bowl, drafting a quarterback behind one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game, you'd have been like, well, there's no shot in hell that'll happen. Well, guess what? If it happened, if I told you a guy like Purdy would have a bomb squad of players around him and be the lowest paid, one of the lowest paid players in the league, yet the Niners would dominate like he was like a Hall of Fame quarterback, you wouldn't believe it. Let the situation in Atlanta age a little bit. Let some of these decisions, like the decisions the Texans made last year, age a little bit. And I think some of the progress people are looking for in football and some of the respect, or should I say better treatment of quarterbacks, will actually come to fruition now more in this era than they ever have. Let me know your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Dave. Again, and I'm sharing with you, I love the draft. 2 weeks prior to the draft, I'm on the phone. I'm calling as many scouts, as many general managers as I can, because they're the ones in the know. I'm not sitting here looking, full transparency, guys, I'm not sitting here watching film. Like, do I watch college football? Of course I do. But I get my draft analysis from those who, this is their job. Travel the country, watching players, meeting with players, researching players, vetting players, and doing their due diligence so that they have the best boards, quote unquote, ready for the draft. And that's who I tap into, okay? Now, same thing with Penix. There's a number of teams and general managers and scouts out there who like his talent, but too many injuries. Two knee injuries, a shoulder injury, and just, if you are injury prone in college, you will be injury prone in the NFL. It rarely does not continue once you get into the NFL level. So there were a number of teams that didn't even have Penix on their board. Didn't even have him on their board because they wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. And then there were other scouts out there that I spoke to that compare him to, brace yourself, Andrew Luck. I had a scout tell me, boy, nobody spins it like him. And now, and again, anticipating the Minnesota Vikings, really felt confident that he would fall to them at 11 and, you know, salivating on him, aligning him with Justin Jefferson. And it's not what happened.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Being able to add Michael Penix Jr., when you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
So that's the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, the Atlanta Falcons really throwing a curveball into the draft early at pick 8, going with Michael Penix Jr. And keep in mind, they just signed Kirk Cousins to a very lucrative $150 million guaranteed deal. So a lot of people not understanding this move. I understand it. I get it. If you are a general manager and you are a team that, again, there are scouts out there that are comparing Michael Penix Jr. to Andrew Luck. So if you are a general manager who feels that Michael Penix Jr. can stay healthy and he passes all your physicals and you are comparing him to the likes of one Andrew Luck. Okay, I understand you taking him at 8. The ceiling for Penix Jr. is so much higher than J.J. McCarthy. I get it. I get it. And here's the thing, because I did a dive into the Kirk Cousins contract. You could have Penix Jr. play behind Kirk Cousins for the next 2 years. The spring of 2026, the Atlanta Falcons could get out of their deal with Kirk Cousins with an quote-unquote only, and I'm using air quotes, $25 million dead cap space hit. Only. Which isn't bad. Okay? So, I see it. I can understand. If you feel like Penix Jr. is the quarterback for you for the next how many years, bring him in, have him play and learn behind a veteran, a really good dude, guy in Kirk Cousins, first one in, last one to leave, probably can teach Penix how to watch film and learn from him, and then make your move to Penix after the next 2 years with Kirk Cousins. And you're only, quote unquote, only taking a $25 million dead cap hit. So I get it. It makes sense. I understand. Is it what I would have done? Listen, I don't get paid that kind of money. So there's that. Let's go to Brian in Oceanside. Brian, welcome in. What are your thoughts? I'm assuming you're a Jets fan. What are your thoughts on what the Jets have done so far in this draft?
I would say I say they did a great job. Brock would have been the sexy pick, but I'm extremely happy with Olu, and looking at his interviews so far, he seems to get it. He seems to be raised right. He kind of reminds me of, the Bickerstaff Ferguson. I think it's really, really vital that he gets to learn from arguably the best left tackle of this generation, and I really think he gets it, and you don't really hear a lot of a quote-unquote redshirt year for a left tackle, and I think it's exactly what we need. He can come in, and now it also provides a little bit of time for the guys we drafted last year on the O-line to learn a little bit. They were rushed into it last year, and we saw how that worked out. It gives us depth. I really like it. But my question to you is, what do you think Aaron Rodgers wanted? Because I think he wanted Bowers, and he did seem a little, his little passive-aggressive disgruntled with it. Are you looking into that?
So a few things, Brian. First and foremost, I have not heard or seen the Aaron Rodgers reaction. Guys, do we have that? Do we have that sound at all? Oh, we do? Okay, can you play it for me?
Olu is a mauler, and he had an incredible career at Penn State. He's not going to need to jump in right away at tackle for sure. See if we work him in a guard, but I think he's going to have a long career in the league, much longer than I'm going to be in New Jersey. So excited for him. Excited to welcome the team. It's a great O-line room, very well coached, and a lot of great personalities that we added to the mix. So excited about adding to the team.
Okay, he sounds fine. He doesn't sound disgruntled to me. Does he sound disgruntled to you guys?
No, I think he's happy with being able to be like, okay, if worse comes to worse, somebody goes down, I could still be able to stand up and actually play this year.
Exactly. Listen, so a few things. Number one, love the decision by the Jets to take an offensive lineman, okay? Love that decision by them. I think it was really, really, I think it's more important to keep your 41 going on 42-year-old quarterback upright, especially coming off of the Achilles surgery. Don't get me wrong, Brock Bowers, general manager, by the way, I asked him, who does Brock Bowers remind you of? He said, George Kittle. Okay, so that's the comparison for Brock Bowers. Disappointed that you didn't have like an offensive weapon to go to, somebody like a George Kittle in Brock Bowers, if he does amount to that. But at the end of the day, this is a Jets team that has a lot of talent already on the offensive side of the ball. It's one in the trenches, people. And again, you've got a quarterback who's, father time is not on his side, and he's coming off of injury. I think the Jets made a really great decision by going offensive lineman. Let's go to Jose in Brooklyn. Jose, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon, Anita. Shout out to the company. Hello to Harvey and Joe Leo. And I echo the same sentiments. I really like the Jets pick. Don't want to go too overboard, but still, they were able to make the shrewd move, and they still got their offensive lineman, and they were able to get a pass catching option in the third round. So let's see how it does turn out, and interested to see how the rest of the day turns out, and see who the diamond and the rough players that they, you know, pick, because these are those rounds for that, and hopefully they do well. And also to add on to the Falcons, you know, thing, I do understand where they come from, and hopefully it does pan out, because, you know, sometimes it does usually work when you do take a quarterback and have someone in place to also, you know, be there to be that bridge person. So let's see how that experiment works. Have a good one, Anita.
You got it, Jose. Hope to see you. I know you're part of the company, so hope to see you up in Stamford, Connecticut next Sunday for Dinko DeMaio. So again, the Jets, Fashanu taking the offensive tackle from Penn State, 11 overall. And then in round three, pick number 65 to Corley, wide receiver from Western Kentucky. So did get obviously some help on the offensive side of the ball, the wide receiving. Hopefully that makes Aaron Rodgers happy. The Jets up again, pick number four. I'm sorry, in the fourth round, pick number 26 and pick number 29 and pick number 34. So the Jets will have four picks towards the end of the fourth round. So that's what's coming up for the Jets. As for the Giants, they get Neighbors, wide receiver from LSU, Newbin, a safety from Minnesota, and Phillips, a corner from Kentucky. They have one pick in the fourth, they have one pick in the fifth, and they have one pick in the sixth. And all of those will be completed this afternoon. 800-919-3776. We come back. Let's switch gears. Let's talk some Knicks as they're getting ready to take on the 76ers. We'll dive into some NBA talk when we get back right here on 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks back with you live. Listen, it's golf season. Beautiful days, especially, man, this coming week. Boy, get out there. Beautiful views. Reminds me of Rock Spring Golf Club. Have you heard of it? It's New Jersey's premier daily fee golf club. Golf Geek calls it one of the best courses you can play in New Jersey. 6,600-yard par 71 course, rolling tree-lined fairways. It's just absolutely fantastic. And not only is it great to play there, but this is kind of cool. They're part of the Kemper Group. And Kemper has an app. Go on your phone, whether it's the iPhone or the Droid, download the Kemper Sports app. They've got a great thing out there right now. It's called Tour of the Turnpike. Play more courses, the Kemper courses, and earn rewards. And of course, Rock Spring Golf Club is one of them. You've also got Skyway Golf Course that we talk about a lot, Ashbrook, Galloping Hill, Shady Rest, as well as Heron Glen. The more you play, the more you earn. So check it out. Download it. Again, Kemper Sports Tour of the Turnpike on your phone. No matter what playing level or handicap, let me tell you something. Rock Spring Golf, they are a fantastic course to play. Check them out online, rockspringgolf.com. Again, easy to find, a great place to play, rockspringgolf.com.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7. ESPN.
Fourth round, the Giants just drafted 107th overall and went Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State. And I'm just going to read this statistically. Production didn't match his talent. He has the traits more productive than what his stats signify. He put on a show at the combine. He ran the second fastest 40 at four for a tight end. At 4.57, flashes the ability to make plays down the field, average 16.4 yards per catch in 2022. Big target, long arms, big hands, can snatch the ball right out of the air. He's got a great frame, Great in space, competitive, good inline blocker, and can get even better if he can improve his technique. So Theo Johnson, tight end from Penn State, that is who the Giants have drafted in the fourth round. So right now, you've got the Cincinnati Bengals that are on the clock with the 115th pick. So the Jets are a little far away here. I'm looking to see when they start drafting. So the first time we'll see the Jets draft is 126, and we're at 115 right now. So I will keep you posted, but not sure if Darren Waller is going to retire or not. He's going through a lot. Divorce. Of course, we know he battles depression. So thoughts and prayers go out to Darren Waller. Hope he's okay, and would love to see him back playing for the Giants. But the Giants just don't know. And so, you know, not only just a good tight end, but definitely fills a need for the Giants as well. 6'6", 259 tight end from Penn State, Theo Johnson. All right, let's talk about what's going on with the Knicks and the 76ers. Game 4 in action tomorrow afternoon. You'll be able to listen to that right here on 98.7 ESPN. In fact, I'll be with you tomorrow, bright and early, 8 a.m., 8 to 9, getting you ready for some golf. The Zurich Classic happening, team golf right now. And then, of course, we kick off the Anita Marks Show at 9 o'clock. We'll be talking Knicks. We'll be talking the draft. Jordan Renan, Rich Cimini will be joining me. Moke Hamilton will be joining me as well to talk Knicks. I've got Mike Gideons, who's a phenomenal scout, to recap both what the Giants and the Jets have done in the draft when it's all said and done today. And then you'll have your Knicks pregame show right here on 98.7 ESPN coming your way at 12:30. And then, of course, the game tips off at 1 o'clock. I know there's a lot of anger out there right now when it comes to Joel Embiid. Here's the thing. Do you guys know that he's dealing with Bell's palsy? Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I was revealed right after game 3 that he was playing with Bell's palsy. Apparently stemmed from the Heat game.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, he's got some nerve damage that's causing the Bell palsy. But nonetheless, facing a lot of scrutiny for the flagrant foul that we saw him put on Mitchell Robinson. A real dirty play, in my opinion. If you go back and look at it, it's one thing to be physical in the paint. It's another to grab a dude's ankle while he's rebounding or trying to put in a second shot, a layup. It was a really dirty call. Here's a quote from Embiid. It was unfortunate. I'm not sure. Do you guys have it? You do? Fantastic. Well, then I won't read this. I'll just listen. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, obviously, Mitchell Robinson jumping and, trying to land, trying to make sure he doesn't land on me, because obviously we know the history that I have with Kuminga landing on my knee. So I kind of had some flashbacks, you know, when he came down to it. It's unfortunate. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I just, you know, in those situations, I gotta protect myself, because I've been in way too many situations where, you know, I'm always a recipient of, you know, the bad end of it. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. But physical game, they want to bring their physicality. We can be physical too, and we are. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
I'm not buying it. I think it's a bunch of BS. If you're trying to protect yourself, roll out of the way, you know, or cross your arm. You know, if you go back and you look at it, he's grabbing at his ankles. And now, again, reports are that it doesn't look like the Knicks are going to have Mitch Robinson available for game 4. So, which is really discouraging. The 76ers scored more points against the Knicks this last game since March 31st. They've been really off. 65.5% effective field goal percentage in game 3 against the Knicks. And they grabbed almost 33% of the offensive rebounds. And, oh, by the way, a 38% free throw rate, where the Knicks free throw rate was only 15%. That's got to change. Listen, the 76ers aren't going to get 50 points out of Embiid every game. And he's recovering from some injuries. Don't forget, he's dealing with the leg injury. He's got the Bell palsy now. Does that affect his basketball? I don't know. I've never had it. I don't know. I can't say that I've known anyone who has. But he's dealing with some stuff. At the end of the day, the Knicks need to play better defense. At the end of the day, the Knicks need to get to the free throw line. Now, because of all that happened with Embiid and Mitch Robinson, I'm expecting this game to be called a lot tighter. And I'm sure the Knicks complain that Jalen Brunson isn't getting the same calls that Embiid is getting. And so I would imagine that Brunson is going to get to the free throw line a lot more in game four than he did in game three or in the series. So I think this is going to be a very tight called game. Who does that benefit? You know, I'd like to see, again, I think what really was the deciding factor in this is the fact, again, that the 76ers were able to get to, they got the calls and they were able to get to the free throw line almost 40% compared to the Knicks. Their free throw rate was 14.6, only 15%. So there's that. What say you? 800-919-3776. Let's do a deeper dive into this this Knicks 76ers matchup. Just to bring you up to speed on some other games that are taking place today. The Cavaliers are going up against the Magic. By the way, I do like Orlando here. I'll lay the two if you are going to dabble. I feel like the Magic's head coach, really, Mosley, has been able to really get this team to buy in, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Keeping the Cavs beneath 100 points in every game in the series to date, Garland and Mitchell held to a combined 18 points. So the Magic are just playing exceptional defense. Only the Celtics and the Bucks, I believe, in the East have won more home games than Orlando. Orlando's won 29, so they play a lot better at home than they do on the road. And at the end of the day, I have not been impressed with this Cavaliers team. They really have not put up much of a fight in this last game. And I like the physicality that the Magic are coming to the table with against the Cavs. And again, like I said, they're a lot better team at home. So I do like Orlando. I do like the Magic, and I'll lay the two if you want some action on this game. Later on this afternoon, the Thunder going up against the Pelicans. The Thunder are up in the series 2-0, so now it heads to New Orleans, where the Pelicans, I do like the Pelicans here today to win at home. The Celtics and the Miami Heat, this is all tied up 1-1, really huge for the Heat to beat the Celtics in Boston. So now they're back in Miami. Not sure if Jimmy Butler will be active and attractive. We will see. And then, of course, the Nuggets and the Lakers. The Nuggets up 3-0. Another sweep, I'm calling it. I know I'm not going out on a ledge here. I think Denver sweeps the Lakers as they did last year in the postseason. So Denver is up 3-0. This Lakers team, their body language, everything about them, I think they've packed it in already. And this Nuggets team has really turned it on in the postseason. So you've got four NBA games on the slate later on this afternoon, and of course, heading into this evening.